It's Friday, November 19th. For WNYC Culture, I'm Terrence McKnight. Tyler Perry's For Colored Girls sold out movie theaters when it opened earlier this month. The film features Janet Jackson, Whoopi Goldberg, Felicia Rashad, among others. But many people watching this film may not know that it's based on the poet-playwright Ntozake Shange's 1975 choreo poem of the same name. Shange joins me today, along with New York-based jazz vocalist, composer, and performance artist behind this song that we're listening to. This song is I Found God in Myself by M. Nahad. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Now I understand from my reading that you two have known each other for a few years now, but there was an instant bond.
The story of how we met is apropos here. I was flying in from California for a retrospective of my work at Henry Street, and my friend Claude sent M, who's legally blind, and at that time I was on a walker because I had a stroke and I couldn't maneuver myself to move. And what happened is we found each other inside M's sight and inside of my inability to walk. And we found each other and got to Manhattan with no problem.
My wonderful friend Claude sent a legally blind person to pick up somebody who's disabled. We made it with no problems whatsoever. We had a lovely dinner. Not much was said, but we knew it was perfect. Between that and in our orientation in art form coming from the deeply rooted in the free jazz community, we're friends. I love her much.
And then we just finished a piece that I wrote called Lillian, Resurrection of the Daughter, that we did at the New American Poets Cafe for the last 2 weeks as a work in progress. So we're still working and getting closer and closer all the time.
Yes.
Let's talk about this song. Ntozake, you asked M to write this song. Why did you ask her to write this particular song?
Well, I had seen her in performance and was very impressed. And it sounds it's as if she makes music spontaneously. And she allows music to take over her body. So it's like listening. So I was really very moved, very impressed with her relationship to sound.
And you wanted her to write this music for a particular poem or a choreo
yeah.
poem that you wrote.
Right. Well, there were really two pieces of music that I made for Colored Girls that are new. And I heard there was one of music to I Found God in Myself, and then there was the original music for I Found God in Myself, but I wanted new music for the movie. I just wondered if I could find new music. And then when I became familiar, and I decided after working with M, and I said, oh my goodness, it'd be wonderful if M would do that, because that would be of the body and of dance, because M does all those things. So I asked her if she would consider, and she said yes, and I was very lucky.
Mm-hmm. Now, Em, when you took on this duty, this responsibility to write this song, mm-hmm. how familiar were you with Shange's work and with this poem and with her epic work from 1975?
Well, I wasn't familiar in person with her epic work, but I was familiar with the poetry from that collection. But I'd also had a privilege of knowing her poetry, bits and pieces from many other works that she'd done since For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide. So through understanding and delving into the complete body to date of her work, plus when I met her, she was writing new pieces. So I'm sort of more sensitive and privy to the newer pieces as well. I got a sense more of deeper than the basic understanding of what she was saying in her poetry. I had an understanding of the artist and what her heart was feeling as she generated her artwork, and I could commiserate with that, being an artist myself and a lyricist and poet too. My music is predominant in my artwork, but I really got a sense of where she pulls this beautiful magic called poetry and art that she pulls. So I could feel for her and resonate for her very deeply. So by the time she came to actually ask me, I was delighted because I so knew what she wanted and what she meant.
Now, this work that we're talking about goes back to 1975, and I'm wondering, and maybe both of you can address this, how has the narrative for colored girls, for black women, changed in the last 35 years, 1975 to now? Are these poems still relevant? Is the story still relevant now for colored girls 35 years removed from when you wrote this, Shange?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, it's still very irrelevant. As a matter of fact, it may even be, sadly enough, it's more relevant than it was in the 70s, because in the 70s, the poems pertain to women in their 20s, or late teens. And now it's relevant to teenagers who are active sexually. And it's scarier to me because teenagers are working at such a level they can't protect them anymore because they're not out of their mother's houses.
I think that it is uncanny that the topics that she spoke about and the topics that the subjects relate to or refer to are more predominant now than ever. But I think it's a part of the insidious cycle of the rise and fall. During the late 60s and early 70s, consciousness were being raised, and that power-hungry system, patriarchal system, I would suppose, that sees the rises, sees their power falling, finds new ways to put a lid on that. And so they did. And so they say this 25, 35-year-old lid or veil that's been pulled over these new, not new, but the reemergence of the take care of yourself, think for yourself, respect yourself mentality that happened back then was veiled over by what, disco, gangster rap, all those things that feed society a new idea. So, like she said, we have people younger and younger finding out the terrible parts of life that they need, not simply because they need to be educated, and whatever those powers that be keep that lid on it. But as we fall deeper, we also rise higher. So I think, ironically enough, here comes Madame Shange's words once again, because they're needed, which will open up new consciousness. I stepped out of a bodega yesterday hearing Queen Latifah's UNITY. Hadn't heard it in forever. And one of the lines is, tell them you're not a bee or a hmm. And that was amazing because I remember the beginning of rap, there were strong women who spoke about strong messages. That would relate closer to Ntozake's writings. But now when you listen to rap, it's about I need to have my and I need to be, and it's all about dependence as opposed to a woman's independence. So it's necessary to hear her words again. She's writing new words, but even as society hears her words, it will remind them of their respect and their love and devotion to themselves first, and then their community, and will go on rising and rising.
Yeah. Now some may argue that now, you know, women are, and black women are more educated than they were 35 years ago, that they're more of the breadwinners than they were 35 years ago. They perhaps are in more colleges than compared to black men, or the graduation rate is higher. They make more money. I mean, my God, we have a first lady who's a woman of color. Yet we're saying at the same time that this piece that you wrote in 1975 is still timeless and that the message is still relevant today. If you were to take on this project again, how would you address it differently, or do you need to address it differently?
I had to address the issue of HIV because it's one of the issues that originated in our community, and that's why it's the number one killer of black females. So I had to put that, I had to, in order to bring this piece up to date and for us to deal with it, I had to put a poem about AIDS in there that wasn't in there before.
Mm-hmm. The poem is called Positive, and it deals with contracting HIV/AIDS through your partner who happens to practice the down-low sexual activity. And AIDS, nor being on the down-low in 75, was something that was prevalent or widely known in the community. So she bought it to date.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for joining me. And thank you both so much for all the work that you've done.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you.
From the heart.
Nice talking to you, and Tazaki.
Oh, thank you.
Nice talking to you, Al.
Thank you, Dad.
Okay, you all have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
ma'am. Bye,
dear. Bye-bye.
For WNYC Culture, I'm Terrence McKnight.